This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Welcome back in as we get into hour number two of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, continuing to come your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Things really ramping up today with the first official workout for pitchers and catchers. We saw a number of pitchers get out onto the mound and throw some bullpen sessions. There continued to be some work going on throughout the backfield. So it just, the sounds of baseball, whether it's the ball, you know, pitch into a catcher's mitt, whether it's the cleats walking on the sidewalk, whatever it might be. Love those sounds of baseball that you always get, whenever baseball is being played. But they strike a little bit differently right at the beginning of spring training. A reminder for you, we've got the Countdown to Opening Day show. That's going to be coming your way tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Mike Claiborne and myself will be coming your way. We've got a lot that's going to be on the show, including a conversation with J.J. Weatherholt. I got the chance to talk with him earlier today, and we are going to play that conversation coming up tomorrow. So most of this hour, the next three segments before we wrap things up, most of this hour is going to be spent listening back to what was said today by John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol. Each had their first formal media sessions of spring training, and they got into a ton of different topics, a lot on Nolan Arenado, who, you know, we've talked about that already on this show today, a lot about what the expectations are for the club, even in a reset year, talk about how the starting rotation is going to work, if there's really going to be an opportunity for young guys to get into the starting rotation. Marmol did spend some time talking about the catching situation, and to me, it has felt like the general thought process has been that the Cardinals are likely to give more of an opportunity to Pedro Páez than Ivan Herrera this year behind the plate. And before I go any further, let me say I'm a big fan of Pedro Páez. He has been what he does behind the plate defensively is just fantastic, especially for a guy his age. And from an offensive standpoint, I think he looked all right. All that being said, we are coming off a season for the Cardinals where they just couldn't score many runs. And the goal, if they want to take a step forward, if they want to be better than people expect them to be, the goal has got to be to score more runs. And having Ivan Herrera in the lineup a lot is going to help this team score runs. So Ollie was asked about that, and you'll hear his answer coming up in our next segment. So listen for that. But I'll preview it a little bit. He spends quite some time talking about Herrera and his offensive potential and the type of impact bat that he can be in the lineup. And then he also talked about Páez for a little bit, but more time about Herrera, and also spent some time discussing what Herrera did in the offseason to try to improve himself from a defensive standpoint, especially from a controlling the run game standpoint, because Herrera, bluntly and honestly, just wasn't very good at holding runners on. That was a problem for Ivan Herrera, and it's an area that he absolutely has to find a way to get better at. But, I don't know what's going to play out, and, you know, Páez probably is still going to be the guy, and there's nothing wrong with Pedro Páez, but I'm a very strong believer that for this team to be better than a lot of people expect them to be, it is going to take a lot of players stepping forward from an offensive standpoint. And I think you're going to get that from Wilson Contreras, just in the sense that he's going to be in the lineup more often if we can assume his health. I know you can't ever assume that, but him going from being a catcher to being a first baseman, that should help keep him healthier. If Gorman and Walker take steps forward, and those are the biggest ifs for this team, if Lars Nootbaar stays healthy, and if you can get Ivan Herrera into the lineup a lot, those are all pieces that go along with this team being better offensively than they were last year. And don't forget, this is a club that did not miss the playoffs by that much. They were in playoff position for some of the year last year, and they finished just a few games out of a playoff spot. So I understand what the expectations are, and like I've said many times, the ceiling for this team and the floor for this team are incredibly wide. Things could go off the rails very quickly, and this could turn into an unfortunate season for the team, or things could go better than anybody expected, and the pathway to that happening is more run scoring combined with getting about what you got out of the starting rotation last year and getting some version of what you got from the bullpen. I think it's going to be hard to completely replicate the bullpen success last year. The Cardinals were so good in those one-run games. Not only did you lose Andrew Kittredge, but you would think that, you know, for like a Ryan Helsley, who is incredible, is there a little bit of regression coming his way just because it's so hard to do what he did last year? There was a little bit of kind of luck involved in that, and that's not that's not me taking a shot at him. That's just the way baseball is played. So you would think that the bullpen might take a step back, but if they can score a lot of runs, this team could be pretty good, and Ivan Herrera being in the lineup more often than not, I think that goes a long way. So I was mildly pleased with what I heard today from Oliver Marmol, where he spent as much time as he did talking about Ivan Herrera and what that might mean for the team moving forward. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to start going through audio. We will start with who we've just been talking about, Oliver Marmol, his thoughts on a good wide range of things. We'll hear that coming up in just a moment from Jupiter, Florida. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Today was the day where pitchers and catchers had their first official workout. A number of pitchers through bullpen sessions, and that's going to continue on. Live sessions will be coming up here in just a few days, so things have picked up in a very, very big way. From here until the end of the show, we're going to play a lot of audio for you as both President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and Manager Oliver Marmol did their introductory media sessions here at the beginning of spring training. I want to start with some of what Oliver Marmol had to say. Of course, the biggest storyline right now for this team is whether or not Nolan Arenado is actually going to be on the team, as he has not yet been traded, despite the fact that John Mozeliak has said that they have every intention to trade him if they're able to do so. From Marmol's standpoint, he says he's going through this planning for Arenado to be on the team.
To be quite honest, you operate as if he's coming to camp, and my conversations with him up to this point have been exactly that. Until that changes, there's no reason to plan otherwise. So as we stand here today, we have pitchers and catchers here, so we're focused on that. And then once we get to position players and have a full camp here, then we'll address it.
As you look at this group overall, in a kind of a weird transition type year, the Arenado situation is hanging over everybody's heads. Young players are going to get more of a runway. All these things are happening. There's a transition with being Mozeliak's final season, and Chaim Bloom's going to take over next year. But in terms of what's going on inside the clubhouse, you can only control what you can control. And Marmol specifically mentioned the fact that he likes the unity that exists on the team already.
You do have a lot of familiar faces coming through, and guys that we've already spent time with and know well, and they know us well. So more than anything, and what I really see them doing a good job of is coming together as a group, and that started this offseason. And when you think about building something that lasts, you have to do that as a team, as a unit. and that's coming together really nicely.
A lot of talk about the reset that this team is going through, and Marmol was asked if that's tough for him as a manager, but basically said that it's not, that it's actually been a good thing. He's all in on what the organization is doing, largely because of the communication that's gone along with it.
No, what's difficult for a manager is when there's not clarity or direction, which is far from what has taken place. I think the organization was very clear on what was going to take place and how we were going to go about doing it. So from being in limbo or up in the air difficulty, there's zero of that, to be quite honest. There's extreme clarity to what this offseason was going to look like, and we've operated under that the entire time as far as how we're prepping for the guys that are in that building at the moment.
So this offseason has featured the team hiring a lot of instructors. A lot more has been given to player development. There's more folks on the big league staff as well. And Marmol said that the offseason changes that have already happened and much more are going to be coming. Again, when spring training wraps up, they're going to start the redo of the spring training complex. So we won't see all the fruits of the labor here for a couple of years on some things. But Marmol did say that the offseason changes are already having an impact.
It's been phenomenal. I mean, when I say phenomenal, it's been really, really good. The meeting we had yesterday with those guys was phenomenal. We had another one this morning. And Derek asked a question a couple of days ago in conversation about kind of this camp and what to expect. I think a lot of it, to be quite honest, is like more manpower. We have more staff. And when you have more staff, you can kind of divide up camp a little bit differently and still have the attention to detail in each area and making sure that things aren't kind of getting skipped over. So just the manpower by itself has been helpful. And there, I mean, it's not just extra bodies, it's real skill sets that we've brought to the table. So on the field, it'll show. And then post every practice, being able to break everything down and some of the different viewpoints that are being brought to the table have been, up to this point, phenomenal.
And he went on a little bit more talking about the impact that he personally can have as a result of the expanded staff.
More so just bandwidth, right? It allows certain coaches to have more. It's always nice when you can plan your day and have pockets where you have nothing,
sure.
Right? Because then those are the opportunities where you can go, I have this window where I have nothing and I see an opportunity to talk to a player. Maybe it's baseball related, maybe it's not baseball related, right? But you have this bandwidth where you can actually connect and be more relational because you have more manpower to do some of these other things that if you don't have it, your face is in front of a computer and you're doing a lot of things that are important, but you miss those opportunities to be more relational with the players. So it's nice to have that at the moment. It really is.
All right, let's jump into some notes about pitching. There's a lot of talk about Michael McGreevy. Is he going to have an opportunity to be in the rotation where you basically already have five veteran guys who are set with Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz? Marmol says that McGreevy comes into camp in a really good spot.
He showed well, exactly as advertised. Did a really nice job of pounding the strike zone and living on the ground. He looks good. I don't know if you guys have seen him, but I mean, put on some weight. Looks really, really good. Had a really good offseason. So I'm excited to see what's coming out of that arm.
And while we mentioned those five existing veteran starters, Marmol reminded folks that things can certainly change.
We do have some guys that are returning that aren't young and are in those spots, and they'll remain in those spots for the time being. So camp will dictate kind of the direction we go there as far as just health. I mean, today's day one. And if we come out of this clean, hopefully we do, that's amazing. But if not, there's some names we can call on that we feel comfortable with.
And even if those five veteran starters do continue to pitch and pitch well and they all stay healthy, Marmol would not to say that the team would not go to a six-man rotation, that at the very least it is a possibility.
I don't want to rule anything out. I'd like to see how we get halfway through this camp and how guys are feeling and kind of when you start really nailing down the roster the closer you get, but we'll wait and see.
From an individual standpoint, Marmol talked a little about Steven Matz and said that he comes into camp fully healthy.
No different than any other guy at the moment. His shoulder and everything feels as good as it's ever felt. So we're in a really good spot there. Obviously, he had a little bit of the ankle deal, but outside of that, he's in a really good spot.
And then another pitcher that you're going to see starting games in the spring, but he's probably earmarked for the bullpen, is Matthew Liberatore. While they will stretch him out here at the beginning of camp, Marmol really believes he can be an impactful reliever.
So the way we'll treat Libby, as we have in the past, is he'll come in and stretch out early. It's way easier for him to transition into 1 to 2 inning stints than having to ramp up in case it hits the fan and we need an extra starter, right? But can he handle that? Absolutely. I mean, he showed some real courage late in games. I mean, his ability to come in, guys on base, leverage, didn't matter. I mean, the more leverage, the better he got. So, I mean, I'd love to see him in that type of role. Absolutely. If that's where this leads.
Part of the runway and part of the opportunities for younger players is very much connected to the bullpen, and Marmol believes that some of the young bullpen arms can really step into bigger roles.
Opportunity, more than anything, because when you look at that group of guys that are returning, but guys that showed well and had flashes of what they're capable of doing in O'Reilly and Roy Croft, and you add certain guys like Persefo, like there's a group of guys there that you want a couple of them to surprise you and run away with the job. But there'll be some good competition in that pen. Obviously, we don't have Kittredge here, who logged in a decent amount of innings for us and did a phenomenal job of handing it over to Helsley. So we'll need a couple of guys to step up. But you have Fernandez, you have, I mean, some really capable faces. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
But, of course, on the back side of the bullpen is their closer in Ryan Helsley. There was some talk about him being traded this offseason. That did not happen. And Marmol says that having Helsley is a great luxury.
It shortens the game, for sure. You're talking about one of the best arms in the game right now. And to be able to rely on that in the ninth, you're trying to figure out ways to get there. But, yeah, I love the ability to being able to call on him to get the last three outs of a game.
Another key player for the team this year is Jordan Walker, and Marmol went through some of the keys that are going to be big for Walker to have a successful season.
Relax and be himself, but at the same time, there's, when I say urgency, just in taking steps in the right direction. And, man, he's done a nice job of that. He's doing a much better job of also just communicating in general how he's feeling, what he's feeling. Which helps our coaching staff, Brandt and those guys, kind of move it along a little quicker. So a lot of credit to Jordan, because him being able to communicate, that is key.
And it's clear that Marmol still very much believes in Walker's potential and the talent that he brings.
Gosh, I mean, this is a real player, man. He looks big. He looks strong. And the power's there.
In addition to trying to get things together from a hitting standpoint, Walker also trying to improve his defense in the outfield. He's been working a lot with John Jay, as have many of the outfielders, and Marmol feels like Jay's instruction out there is going to have a large impact on every outfielder on the team.
Sat there and watched John Jay do his work this morning. I'm stoked, man. I mean, just the intentionality and just intent behind that work. It's day one of them being out there, but it's hard not to get excited about the progress that'll be made there. Even guys that are shown to be really good, like the Siannis and Vicks of the world, man. Like, I think John's going to bring something special to that group, and we saw part of that today.
And then last thing for Marmol, thought this was interesting. He talked a little bit about the catching competition, as Ivan Herrera and Pedro Páez, they're going to be the guys, but what's not set yet is who's going to get the vast majority of playing time, if either one is, and how that's going to look as camp continues.
As we get further into camp, we'll provide more clarity to that. Obviously, Herrera is someone that he can hit, man, and he did a really nice job behind the plate. Obviously, we want to address the running game part of it, which he took to heart, spent a decent amount repattering kind of how he throws in order to kind of be more effective there. So he spent the entire offseason fixing that, and we're waiting to see what that looks like. But it's a real hitter that could do a nice job behind the plate, and Páez, he showed the ability to game plan with the best of them. I mean, this is a guy that did a really nice job for us and gained the trust of that staff. So, yeah, there's competition there, but those are the two guys we're going to roll with.
That's a lot from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We will take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX.
Yeah.
We're back at it from Jupiter, Florida. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, coming your way from Cardinals Spring Training. Doing our fun with audio. You're going to hear a lot of audio as long as we are continuing to do the show from down here. Heard from Oliver Marmol just a few moments ago. Now let's hear from John Mozeliak. He had his Spring Training introductory press conference today. We're going to do this over a couple segments. Want to go through all the Arenado stuff first, and then we'll cycle past Arenado, just in case you are getting a little bit of Arenado fatigue. There are other things to talk about, but let's start with this offseason and how quiet it's been. Again, that's been very much connected to the Arenado situation, but Mo definitely said that it has been a frustratingly quiet offseason.
You know, it's sort of interesting as you think about it's my 18th camp and addressing media, and typically it's you spend a lot of time like rehashing all the accomplishments of the off season, so this will be brief. Needless to say, it's been frustrating because we are trying to do some different things as we transition into a new leadership group and really a new direction with the franchise moving forward in 2026. So. As I've tried to remind myself all offseason, that this offseason just continues to keep going. It's perpetual. But reality is, with pitchers and catchers reporting yesterday, going through their physicals today, and they'll be on the field here probably in the next hour, you know, the spring training's starting. And that means we are right around the corner from our season. And so decisions have to be made. And as we start to think about our roster, what we want to look like.
And even though it hasn't happened yet, Mo said that moving Arenado does remain a priority for the club.
As we start to think about our roster, what we want to look like, there are some things we still would like to tweak and try to do. Obviously, the pink elephant in the room is, what are we going to do with Nolan Arenado? You think back to when we first met on this in October, to GM meetings, etc. And, candidly, we're still looking at what that might look like. And, could something happen in the next week? Possibly. Could this go in the camp? Possibly. So I really don't have like a definitive answer for everybody that's curious on what will be the answer. So patience is required.
I don't think many of us thought that this would still be going on in spring training, especially based off some of the things that Mo said to us all the way back at the winter meetings and just the continued messaging since then. And Mo admitted that the Arenado process has not gone the way he expected it to go.
If you think back to when we first started discussing the possibility of trading him, we thought all along that we could probably do something this offseason, but it just hasn't happened. I think, you can determine on your own why that might not be happening. Could be the free agent market, could be who's available on the free agent market. I imagine there's a direct correlation there. But, ultimately, I did not have a large list of teams, so it wasn't like 29 I could take them to. So I'm just trying to navigate what I could work with, and obviously it hasn't moved at the pace many of us had hoped for.
So that presents the question. Is this thing going to get done? Is Arenado going to get moved? I feel like, yes, he will. But from Mo's standpoint, he says he doesn't have much of a feeling on if the deal does end up getting done.
I really don't know. I mean, I've always been an optimist on trying to get deals done. So I am hopeful, but we'll see.
So what happens if Arenado doesn't get moved? Mo said that the team can still move forward with him on the roster.
I think so. I mean, we're adults. Would it be awkward? I imagine there might be a moment of awkwardness, but I still think that, he's a professional baseball player. He's currently a St. Louis Cardinal, and, we all understand that once you're here, it's pushing for that. And would that mean then, trying to accomplish something maybe during spring training? Possibly. But there's no guarantees at that point.
There is, however, a cost to Arenado being on the roster. They want to use this year as a year to give young players more of an opportunity, find out what they have with some guys. And Mo did admit there's going to be less opportunities for young guys if Arenado does remain on the roster.
Yeah, I think the difference is how you define the word opportunity, right? If you're somebody like a Nolan Gorman, where's your at-bats come from now? So I definitely think there's a direct correlation there. So as we talk about this transition, as we talk about opportunity as one of those themes, it would be a limiting factor to some individuals.
So what does the timeline look like? Does a deal have to be done before position players report? Does it have to be done before you break camp? Is it just something that maybe you look to the trade deadline to try again? And Mo said there's really not much of a timeline at this point on when an Arenado deal has to be done.
There is no deadline, right, in this particular case, and we can create our own if
like
we want.
Report deadline.
But I do feel like as teams are beginning to report, it definitely feels like there's more urgency to see if there could be some way to bring this to conclusion.
And the last thing kind of Arenado related from Mo, and this will kind of help us transition into our next segment, because it sounds like there still is the possibility of them tweaking the roster. There had been some thought that they weren't going to be able to add as long as Arenado remains on the roster, but Mo said that they can still add if an opportunity presents itself, whether Arenado is moved or not.
Overall, we like what we've been able to bring into camp right now. Does that mean there's not some activity we might still try to do? The answer is no. We still might be open to that. But I would say it's not in the part where we're just handcuffed at this point.
All right, so that's just a little bit there from John Mozeliak, all Nolan Arenado related. He talked about many other things as well, and we'll get into those coming up in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training. Today was a big day as pitchers and catchers got out onto the backfields and worked out officially for the first time. A number of pitchers through their initial bullpen sessions. More pitchers will be doing the same thing coming up tomorrow. Also, a reminder, tomorrow night, it is the Countdown to Opening Day show. Myself and Mike Claiborne will be coming your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Let's continue on listening in to what John Mozeliak had to say today, the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. In our last segment, we did all the Nolan Arenado stuff. Now we're going to move forward to the other things that Mo talked about, and he had a lot to say, kind of talking about the current state of the team. He said that even in this reset that they're in right now, they continue to feel very good about the club.
This transition is going to be about a youth movement. It is going to be about giving players opportunities. We are excited about the guys we have in this camp. I mean, obviously next week when position players report, it's going to have a little different feel to it. But nonetheless, the Cardinals are excited about directionally where we're going. But we certainly understand that there could be some things that happen between now and the time we get to St. Louis.
Mo would go on to say that there is a belief that this team can win.
We'll see how we play. Our goal is to win this year. Our goal last year was to win. We fell a few games short of getting to the postseason. But our hope is that if all things go right, we feel like we have a veteran pitching staff. We feel like we have some emerging arms. And we feel like we have a really talented young core. So, it's not a bad bet to make.
This offseason obviously featured payroll reduction, letting Paul Goldschmidt leave as a free agent, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn not picking up their options, the likely eventual trading away of Nolan Arenado. And Mo talked a little bit about that balance between payroll reduction and also being able to continue to field a competitive team.
Not necessarily in the sense of change. It was really about understanding how I could meet, payroll goals, but then also trying to thread a needle to remain competitive. And, had those guys asked to be moved or considered to be moved, it would have, definitely changed our offseason strategy. But they didn't, and I'm glad they didn't. And I still think this team can be fun to watch.
And even though the team might be going through a reset, that does not change the motivation to win.
Well, I think maybe the language has changed. My hope and wishes have it. If you walk in that door right now, that group wants to win baseball games. That group believes in themselves, and that's important. It's not always what you spend. It's not always what you sign. It's not always what you trade for. Sometimes it's about what you have and what do you do with it.
And as Mo surveyed the group of players that have already arrived to Jupiter, he really does feel like that this group is ready to go.
I would just say, my initial blush at looking at this group is they all came in prepared. Mm-hmm. And from brief conversation as I was walking out here with the medical staff, everybody looks healthy. And so from a standpoint of where they look like they're ready to go, that's good. I haven't really been down here long enough to say, like, you know, which one has, you know, changed their profile or added 3 miles an hour or something like that.
A few other topics to get to with Mosellock before we call it a night here on the program. You know, probably the biggest storyline for the team this year, especially connected to this team playing better than a lot of people expect them to play, is whether or not Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker can take steps forward offensively, whether they can be middle-of-the-order run-producing bats. Mo talked a little bit about that expectation about some of these young hitters being able to take a step forward this year.
Twofold. One is, obviously, we changed leadership in the coaching side, so hopefully a different voice can help generate that a positive outcome there. And then the other part is, when you look at some of these younger players that we're talking about taking that step forward, what do they do? Is this a sophomore thing, a junior thing? You know, where are they in terms of graduating to be a regular major league player? Time will tell.
Specifically to the two players that we mentioned, Gorman and Walker, Mo talked about each of them, saying that Gorman still has the potential to be an extra base hit machine.
When I look at him, and obviously I'm not the hitting coach or the coach in general, but you know, I feel like he has the ability to be the guy that can really drive the ball to left center. And I feel like when he's taking advantage of that, that's when doubles and home runs happen. And so, yeah, I think we all understand the trade-off of the strikeouts, but you still have to balance that with the production. And so, you know, when you think about somebody that's like capable of being a 25 or 30-plus home run guy, knowing that you might get 30 strikeouts, I still feel like his value comes from not just the 30 home runs, but like what types of doubles and that kind of production. So ball and play for him, I think, does matter a little bit.
And there also remains a lot of hope for Jordan Walker, who is still very young.
I think you got to remind yourself he's 22. So patience is real here. But obviously, you know, last year did not go the way he had hoped for him or us. So adjustments have to be made. But in terms of like trying to, you know, write the first chapter and the last chapter based on 6 weeks, probably not the best strategy.
Let's talk a little pitching real quick. First off, from a starting rotation standpoint, the team is in a spot where five spots are held by veterans in Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante. I guess Pallante's not a veteran, but he's a guy who was in the rotation previously, in addition to Miles Michaelis and also Steven Matz. There's young starters around. Michael McGreevy did a really nice job last year. Quinn Matthews on the way. Matthew Liberatore is going to be stretched out like a starter, even though he is likely earmarked for the bullpen. So when you've got these five guys that are set to be in the rotation, how do you create these opportunities both now and in the future for young starters to get that chance in the rotation?
McGreevy obviously showed he's capable of pitching in the big leagues last year. And, you know, I think that's great depth, but it's also knows he's going to have a great career, hopefully, at the big leagues. And then you mentioned somebody like Matthews. Now, you know, he had a brief stint at AAA. I would imagine that's where he's going to start and see what he develops like. But the whole point is, as we begin this transition, which we have begun, but the idea is to, like, how do we set ourselves up for 26, 27, and beyond?
From a bullpen standpoint, very, very young bullpen, especially outside of Ryan Helsley and JoJo Romero. And there was some talk about bringing in some more veteran pieces for the bullpen. And Mo talked a little bit about that internal debate between having a very young bullpen where you're able to kind of mix and match and you're probably bringing guys up and sending them down and doing a lot versus bringing in a more seasoned guy who can be kind of a leader down in the pen.
Well, I do think that allows us some flexibility. I do feel like when I look at the last, you know, 30-some years with the Cardinals, there always was that sort of veteran voice in the bullpen that tended to help manage what was going on down there. So I do think there's some value in that, but I definitely think there's some exciting arms. And in terms of, like, you know, do we have, like, the horsepower and the arms to get people out? I think the answer is yes. But as you know, over the 162, it's nice to have someone down there that can help kind of manage it. And you don't want to always put that like on your closer, because that's such a different role.
Sure.
So that is something that we are kind of.
Of course, that back end of the bullpen is led by closer Ryan Helsley. Helsley himself has said that he kind of expected to be traded this offseason. And on this show and in print and everywhere, we all talked about the idea of possibly trading Helsley. Well, Mauve made it very clear there was never any intention to trade their closer.
You guys write a lot of things that I never say, right? Or you hear rumors that might be said. And, like, for players to digest that or what they want to do with it, I can't control that. I told him and his representative early on that he was not going to be traded. I never speak in absolutes because you never know, but I gave him, that was not my goal to move him. And so, you know, how he feels about all of that, I mean, you'll have to ask him, but I felt like from an organizational standpoint, we kind of pointed out what this was going to look like. Mm-hmm.
A couple other interesting things from Mosellock before we call it a day. They recently acquired Michael Hellman in a waiver trade with the Minnesota Twins, a guy who can play pretty much all over the field. And with that, Mo said that Hellman has a very useful skill set that could end up playing big for this team.
He's just a very athletic, very versatile player. And when you're looking at all these different moving parts, depending on how things fall, gives us a lot more flexibility.
Also, J.J. Weatherholt is in camp. I got the chance to talk with him earlier today. A conversation will play on tomorrow night's Countdown to Opening Day show. One of the top prospects in baseball right now, one of the top prospects in the Cardinals organization, has star written all over him, even though he's likely to begin this season in the minor leagues. But Mo gave his thoughts on his kind of early observations when it comes to J.J. Weatherholt.
He's just an exciting player. I don't know him, like, you know, real personally in terms of, like, friendship-wise, but from when I'm around him, he's just very polite, very sincere. You can tell he's a focused guy. You know, did get to watch him play last year down here in Palm Beach, and, you know, he understands how to hit. So I think, you know, you look at sort of, like, the last 30 years with the Cardinals, and obviously Pujols is an outlier to anything, right? 13th round and ended up being, will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But then I was like thinking about all the people that we've drafted, like a J.D. Drew stands out as, like, you know, the guy had, like, legitimate skills and kind of performed from day one. And, you know, J.J. might be kind of that next type of person. So, like, you know, that's not him saying he's Pujols or J.D., but, you know, that kind of talent, just you can tell it's going to move quick.
And then the final thing from Mo, I thought this was interesting because he's been doing this for a long time. And this is his final spring training as a president of baseball operations. Maybe it's even his final spring training working in baseball. We don't know what the future is going to hold for Mosellock after this year, except for the fact that he's not going to be in his current role. So you would think that there might be a little bit of reflection, some time kind of looking around. But Mo said that's not the case. He's focused on baseball, he's focused on his job, and he's not doing any reflecting here in his final spring training.
I'm looking at it as just part of my job at the moment. Like, I really haven't had that moment of reflection of, you know, here it is, last time of this example. But, you know, right now it's you know, still trying to figure out a way to, you know, achieve certain goals with this team. And ultimately, that's what we're working towards. You know, I will say, and you know, Derek mentioned it, it's an oddity, right? Like, normally, like, we open this thing with, like, you know, feeling really good about what we accomplished in the offseason, and then the hope of spring, you know, everybody gets excited when they're down here, and we go play baseball. But right now, it's, you have this over our heads, and that's what we're just working through.
That is John Mosellock, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, and that's just about going to do it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida. Again, tomorrow, we've got the Countdown to Opening Day show. Mike Claiborne and myself will come your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. A lot to get into. We've got some interviews for you. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be coming up tomorrow evening, so hopefully you can join us for that. But for now, that's going to do it. We've got the Gasthouse Gang on the way next. Today's show features Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and myself. It's a great conversation, nothing but baseball for the next hour. So that's going to be coming up in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Thanks so much for being tuned in. I'll talk to you again tomorrow all day long with updates from Jupiter and then the Countdown to Opening Day show coming up tomorrow evening. We will talk to you then right here on KMOX.